BigAlSoulFood.com/events.
The perfect party. It's an elusive idea. People have to be completely entertained from the moment they walk in to the moment they leave. It's a grand experiment.
Welcome to the future of parties, the perfect party. We here at CITR consider ourselves party scientists, and we are proud to bring you into the future of parties with our annual Fun Drive finale at the Biltmore Cabaret. The Fun Drive finale celebrates the contributions of all our Fun Drive donors with a magnificent night of local music and a legendary silent auction. Friday, November 25th, there is no place you'd rather be than at the Biltmore Cabaret. Bands include Womankind, Shimmering Stars, Synthcake, World Club, Love Cuts, Shearing Pinks, The Defectors, and more. Advance tickets are available online at brownpapertickets.com or at your local record store. A limited number of tickets will also be available at the door. For more information and to check out the list of our silent auction swag, go to CITR.ca or search for Fun Drive Finale on Facebook. CITR, tune into the future with us.
I am a party scientist. Welcome to my laboratory.
Rubles, yen, shekels, dollars, money. The sound of money. The lovely sound of money. I find it quite appealing. A feeling you may share. It seems to cheer me whenever it is near me. It elevates my spirit to hear it in the air. Meet in sweet surrender, and when the romance ends, dividends, the sound of money, enchanting sound of money. Here's hoping I keep saying my whole life long,
dear, they're playing our song,
the sound of money.
Diamonds catch my eye, and I hear angels harmonize. Passing by, whisper lullabies. A great big yacht about to dock makes such a couth and soothing sound. A block of blue chip stock, music all around. I listen in a bank and trust, the darn thing singing fit to bust. A banker tips his Hamburg, a fig for Sigmund Romberg. Diamonds catch my eye, and I hear angels harmonize. Sables passing by whisper lullabies. Riding in a Bentley or a Rolls, the clock tick-tocks much more sentimentally than a tune of a boombox.
Dear, they are playing our song.
Listen.
The sound of money.
Diamonds catch my eye.
The sound of money.
Sables passing by.
The sound of money.
Such a cool and soothing sound.
The sound of money.
Music all around.
The sound of money.
Diamonds catch my eye.
Seconds till the last clue, calling Welcome to the Extra Environmentalist.
Your opposable thumb means nothing.
This is what we want to be. We don't want to be Americans or Germans or English. We want to be extra environmentalists. Always feel wherever you go that you are a stranger, the outsider, the one looking in. This is the viewpoint that makes all places the same to you.
All right, welcome live to the first ever Extra Environmentalist podcast live broadcast. We're here for the CITR fund drive this year. Just under $13,000 into the fund drive, and what I'm going to do as your host, Justin Ritchie, and also my co-host, Seth Moser-Katz.
Hey there, Justin.
Yeah, hey there, Seth. Seth's joining us from his home in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I'm here in the studios in Vancouver, British Columbia. And over the next hour, we're going to convince you of the importance of CITR to the community. We're going to convince you of how awesome they are, that they play independent content like us, bringing you independent views that you won't find in the mainstream, and to discuss why all the money that you spend on newspapers and for cable television and all that stuff just isn't worth it. You should just throw a little bit of that over to the station here during this fund drive. So how's everything That's on right. your end, Seth?
Things are going well, Justin. And any radio station that plays our show can't be bad. You know that local radio is just where it's at these days, because local stations and local media is just getting bigger and bigger. Podcasting in general is just amazing.
Yeah.
As you and I can both attest to.
Absolutely. And what we talk a lot about on our show is taking all the environmental issues that are out in the world today, climate change, peak oil, energy depletion, all of these things, and trying to imagine what our future will actually look like. And that drives a lot of our discussions. And for you and I, Seth, one of the things that we always talk about, it, you know, is what is the future of media, given those realities. And, you know, in the future, radio is a really low impact way to communicate. And the future of local radio is really where it's at.
And radio is a technology that's been developed for a long time. It's not a new technology. It's something that people have been using for hundreds of years to communicate. They've pretty much perfected radio pretty well. And now with podcasting, you're taking it a step further, using that internet technology combined with radio to make radio for the people, democratizing radio, making it so that anybody with a microphone and an internet connection can make their own radio show, which is how we got started. Isn't that right, Justin?
That's right. Yeah, we've been doing this podcast for about a year and a half now, talking to people out in the community who are working on issues of energy depletion and climate change and reimagining our money system. And those are views that you won't always get in the mainstream media, because quite often the money system is always talked about as a concrete final thing. You know, you can't really change it, but we're working hard to drive the conversation about alternatives. And so anyone who's listening over the next hour can give us a call at 604-822-8646 to donate, to contribute, maybe push us over that $13,000 mark here. And anyone who calls in during this live Extra Environmentalist broadcast is going to get our special mixtape that we make every season. This is something only for people who call in during this hour. To our podcast, people call in and leave voicemails quite a bit to let us know what they're thinking, to give us reactions to the show, and we play them on episodes. And anyone who calls in and gives us a voicemail, we send them our seasonal mixtape, and we're going to make that available to anyone who calls in during this hour. So what we're going to be doing is playing some clips from future episodes that we're working on, so previews of stuff that you may not hear for months, actually, because we've got so many interviews backed up. And also,
yeah, special little sneak peek there for all you loyal and not so loyal extra environmental listeners.
That's right. We're a new show at the station here at CITR, even though we've been podcasting for about a year and a half. And so, you know, this is the kind of stuff that makes local radio like CITR so special, is because they're willing to put out podcasts that have play on the internet into the FM station, into the FM airwaves. So I just want to confirm the number. That's 604-822-8646. Sorry, 8648. Yeah, that's 604-822-8648. So we've got also some skits that we do at the end of every episode, kind of, you know, play around, you know, talk about some things in funny voices. What do you think, Seth? Should we start out with a skit?
I think a skit would be a great way to start us off. These skits kind of give a different light to these very heavy, heavy issues that we talk about. You know, world population decline and the end of fossil fuels as we know it is not always a pleasant topic to talk about. And maybe couching it in a little bit of humor can kind of bring you a different perspective that maybe you haven't thought about it before in.
Yeah.
So I'd say roll one of our skits, Justin.
All right. So this one's will be self-explanatory, so we'll take it away.
Hello, welcome to the nightly news on XBNC. We go live right now to the Kane administration, who is making an exciting new announcement about the new appointment in their cabinet. We go live to our reporter in the field, Joseph Methmuth.
Thank you, Sam. We're here live in the White House press conference room, where a very important announcement is about to be made by the Kane administration. They are appointing the members of their cabinet right now and are going to push those through the Senate for confirmation in the next few days. I've been hearing that this appointment is coming out of left field, or knowing the Kane administration, right field, because there's not been an administration appointment anything like this. And given that there is a man in a white lab coat standing at the podium right now getting ready to make the announcement, already has me thinking this is going to be something very special.
So Joseph, just before we get started, we've heard rumors about some sort of appointee that's not human. Have you heard anything in the field about this?
I have no idea what's about to happen. All I can do is just describe the scene for you here. It is a room full of the press. It is a man in a white lab coat standing at the presidential podium about to make this announcement. And there's a giant silver machine right behind him. I have no idea what is going to happen today, and it's going to be interesting. So Sam, we're going to take it away to the announcement.
All right, Joseph. We're going to tune in live right now to the announcement from the Kane administration on the new cabinet appointees.
Hello, and thank you all for attending today's very special announcement. I am Robert Leftfield. I am a geneticist at the University of Texas A&M, and the Kane administration has been pushing millions of campaign funders' money into this research project, which is quite special. I have been working on a way for creating an actual machine that will allow you to input a stock price, and out of it comes an actual person. Yes, no longer do corporations have to be legal people. They can be real people, too. And that's why we are here this evening to announce the nominee for the Secretary of the Treasury, the first human being to be produced by this machine, Goldman Sachs. And so we're going to run the machine here. So if you'll press that button, John. Here we go. Ah, whoa. The smoke is clearing, and there is Goldman Sachs right in front of us. Goldman Sachs, could you make your official introduction as Secretary of the Treasury? Thank you.
Hello, I'm Goldman Sachs. I've been created by the Kane administration to bring monetary policy to the next level. Today, I'll be taking your questions about how I plan to make this policy a reality.
Thank you, Mr. Mansax. The press may now put their questions forward to the new nominee for Treasury Secretary.
Hello, my name's Sandra Bettermouth, and I'm with the New York Times, and I wanted to say that this nation has been struggling with GDP growth for many years now, and I was wondering what your strategy was to kickstart growth.
GDP growth is a very important part of my administration's policy. To facilitate growth, one such strategy is initiating nuclear war on a global scale with the destruction of many cities around the world. We will be called upon to up GDP production to compensate for the amount of city destruction. As we saw in the Fukushima accident and the tsunamis that have slammed into the eastern part of this world, GDP growth has skyrocketed in those places because of the massive need to import food and raw materials. The rest of the world has benefited greatly, especially the United States, because we can support those destroyed economies and cultures. If we can replicate this on a global scale, just think of the amount of GDP creation that we could have.
Hello, this is Sam Lefwich here from XBCNC, and I'm wondering about unemployment. Our nation has a very serious unemployment crisis that has not been solved. Do you have any strategies to help reduce the number of unemployed in this country?
Thanks for asking. Yes, I do. We will send out surveys finding out who is employed and who is not, then brand them with working and non-working tattoos, and then we will release drones into the sky that will find all those people who are gainfully employed making money. The drones will come down out of the sky, decapitate some people, use machine guns on others, and poison the water systems and small businesses everywhere. Soon, nobody will want a job, and unemployment will disappear forever.
Hello, this is Max Beckman with the Chicago Tribune. It sounds like you're pursuing some really innovative policies here. Healthcare has been a very important issue in this country, and where are you going to take it next? What does Kane Care look like?
Kane Care will bring together Obamacare and genocide all into one package, giving doctors more employment opportunities. By randomly infecting people with cancer, along with AIDS and other sexually communicated diseases, no longer will people be healthy. They will be sick, so sick that they will be forced to go to hospitals and pay millions of dollars to make themselves well again. Our country is destined for greatness.
Hi, my name's Alex Eagleman, and I am with the San Francisco Chronicle, and I was wondering about the massive debt that the United States finds itself with. The previous Secretary of the Treasury, Mr. Timothy Geithner, battling the budget issues of the United States, along with the national debt that it was accumulating, and even though you're looking at a very cross-cutting approach through the medical system and other military methods to raise GDP, how do you expect to deal with the debt?
That's a great question. Thanks for asking about that. We've actually been looking into recreating a feudalistic state in many areas of the United States, and we are in negotiations with both Canada and Mexico over annexing them and setting up feudal states that will support the United States in all of its endeavors. We have negotiations going on in South America where we are both talking to leaders there about importing women for surrogate mothers to our bankers to reduce the national debt, of course.
And I'm sorry, that's all the time we have for questions today. Thank you, Mr. Mansacks. Please, if you have any further questions, please direct them to the Secretary of the Press. We will leave you alone today. Thank you. This is Jason Methmeth reporting live from the press conference that you just witnessed, taking you back to Sam Bryanson in the XBNC studios. What do you have to say about that, Sam?
I'm getting word from our sponsors now that this is a great plan. It sounds like our corporate affiliates are telling me to tell you that this is a great plan. I think that this is going to help the economy and make everything great.
Sam, it looks like someone has started firing up the machine, and now all of the stock symbols that you normally see are being converted into people. It looks like there's actually a General Electric emerging. He's planning to command the war effort. This is terrible.
Seems that we've lost our connection to the White House. Everybody, it's time to panic and start cooking beans.
Okay. All right. So that wraps up one of the skits that we put together. What do you think, Seth?
Oh, that was one of our best ones for sure so far. We did, what, like about 5 different voices each in that one?
Yeah, I actually do sound like that in person. Like, I do a great female voice. It's
you do. Really, your female voice is really, really good.
It's so convincing. So,
do you practice that in the shower or something?
You don't want to know where I practice it. That's all there is to it. Yeah. So what number, if someone out there enjoyed that skit, what number can they reach us at, Seth, to donate to the fund drive?
Oh, they can reach us at 604-822-8648. And, you know, if you have $5 to give, you have $10 to give, if you have $50 to give, everything you can give helps a little bit. And that's why we're here, is just to try to raise some money and keep this important structure of the community going strong.
Absolutely. And to support more crazy skits like those ones that we put together. And no matter what you're able to contribute during this hour, you will, if you leave your email, we'll send you our mixtape that we have for our listeners. But also, if you pledge $30, you'll get a Friends of CITR card. $60, you'll not only get a Friends of CITR card, but you'll also get a cooler. A cooler. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
$101.90 will get you a t-shirt as well as a cooler and everything else. $175, you'll get add a travel mug onto that. $250, and you'll get a tote bag and be able to host a listener hour here at the station, which is awesome. Yeah.
How exciting.
What do you think about getting some listeners to suggest guests for us?
I think that's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. If you donate more than.
We had a lot of guests. A lot of listeners suggesting many guests for us.
We'll find out. You know, if anyone donates over $250, we will heavily pursue whoever you suggest for a guest on our podcast.
Heavily. And we might even get Justin to use his girl voice to request those interviewees.
That's right. But the Extra Environmentalist isn't just about crazy skits where corporations are turned into literal people and announce their policy strategies. It's also about really serious discussions about the state of the world. And the next clip we have is from an interview we did back in June with the Chilean economist Manfred Max Neef, who's one of the Right Livelihood Award winners. It's the Alternative Nobel Prize, and he's developed a lot of alternatives to current models of development around the world. And he essentially predicted the Occupy movement. What do you think about that, Seth?
That's right, Justin. We were talking with Max Neef before the Occupy movement even got started, and he was saying that anytime now there's going to be a movement where the young people or just the people in the United States that have been feeling so left out from what most of the 1% of our nation is experiences, the rich 1% experiences on a daily basis, that they are going to rise and revolt. And I think we have a clip of that too, don't we, Justin?
Yeah, definitely. So get your phones ready. Call in at 604-822-8648 and take a listen to this clip with Manfred Max Neef where he talks about the Occupy movement.
What do you think would happen to the people in the U.S. if they knew how bad the situation really was, if they were getting this view that everyone else in the world is seeing?
The same that is happening in Spain, the same that is happening in Greece, the same that is happening in the Arab countries, the same that is already happening in several states of you, in Wisconsin and other places. I mean, people are showing that they are fed up, aren't they? So I really think, and I have said this also in a previous interview, that any minute, you know, you may have a tremendous outburst of people protesting in the United States in the streets, eventually destroying things, I don't know. But I think the situation is very mature. That may happen any moment. You're sitting on a piece of dynamite.
Yes. So do you think that in these Middle Eastern countries where these revolts and uprisings have taken place, these are not first world countries? And the people that are not, I mean, as educated, say, on a median as, say, like a Greece or a United States, for example. Does education play a role in how the reshaping of government will play out? Does that change how the revolts reshape government? Does education of the public change how these reshapings of government will happen?
Of course, education is important, but that's not enough. It doesn't mean that more higher educated people, you know, will do the necessarily the change. there are many people, you know, who are upset who are not of higher education. No, I don't know, in the movements we have in Spain and in Greece and in the Arab countries, we have no information, you know, in those masses, what percentage has of higher education, of middle education, or of little education. We don't know it. These movements cover the whole spectrum. No, I don't think that this is a case in which more educated people will have more influence. It is like in many old in history revolutions, who were the people, probably the leaders, yes. But these are movements that have no concrete leaders. And that is the new thing. It's similar in a way, you know, to what happened in the 60s. There were also no leaders, you know, that it was a movement of a whole generation of young people. No, it's something similar, you know, not the same, but similar what is happening now. So in that concrete case, I don't know to what degree higher education has a greater impact or not. I don't know. I couldn't say it. But in any case, if you want to change things, of course, I mean, education helps in order to construct an alternative. That's fundamental, yes.
So what you're saying is essentially all of our previous systems of education and political power and the way it's distributed are really running out of time, that it's really only a matter of time before the United States erupts in some kind of civil unrest, and we're already seeing the first stages of that happening?
I believe so, yes. Unfortunately, I do. I hope it doesn't happen, you know, but the conditions are all on the table. You have all the conditions, you know, for an uprising of the people. I lived in the United States. I lived there in one of the two last beautiful decades. The beautiful decades in the United States were the 50s and the 60s. Great concern with social justice, you know, and unions were strong, you know, and labor was important, and universities were extraordinary centers, you know, of discussion and reflection, etc., etc., etc. I was in Berkeley, you know, in the 60s, and that was decisive for the rest of my life. But that United States does not exist anymore. That's finished. It's dead. And something very sinister, you know, has turned out after that, which has where social justice and all the rest, you know, that were important in those two decades have disappeared. So you have all the conditions for an uprising, you know, that may occur. The conditions are there. Whether it occurs or not, well, I cannot predict that. I don't have a crystal ball. But the conditions are already sufficiently there. And I don't see what politics is doing about that. It's not what is being discussed, you know, in the media. It's not what is being discussed in the Congress. You're concerned with other things. Your Tea Party and all those nonsenses, you see, seem to be much more important, you know, at the level of politicians. These fundamental, dramatic conditions, you know, in which the United States is today, which has nothing to do with the United States we knew once upon a time, which was really a fantastic country.
If civil unrest starts to break out in the United States and it happens in this decentralized manner like you were speaking about, which seems to be a possibility, what do you see happening next? Do these groups just cause anarchy, or are they actually able to transform to a new economic system, or can the United States government actually manage continuing to pay its interest and its debts if there's some kind of mass unrest?
Here again, you know, the important contribution of the university. The universities should be ahead designing the alternative for this existing model. The alternatives exist, and they are very strong, you know, but the official economics departments in the universities still don't teach them. The whole field of ecological economics is tremendously strong with very concrete proposals. And in my book, there's at the end, you know, a whole proposal of what an alternative could be based on five postulates and a fundamental value principle, which, you know, it's in the book. That is known. I mean, and all studies have been made. There are many publications in scientific journals now that show that these are strong alternatives and strong proposals and strong possibilities. But the departments in the universities, you know, have still closed the doors. So there are many people in those departments that are working in an alternative, but outside the university. It's almost as if you were in an underground movement, you see. But the alternatives are there, and the role of the university for me is decisive. As it is today, the university is an accomplice of a world we don't want and we don't like, and that is damn serious. I am in the university. I was rector of my university for 8 years, and even in my university we have the same type of problem. Many of us are fighting very strong, and slowly some changes are beginning. I mean, the whole process of post-autistic economics that started in France about 10 years ago. It's also something that is growing. its publication of Real Life Economics, and now it's excellent, with very important contributions. So all the possibilities for a change are there, and are strong and serious, and the question is that universities open themselves up and start doing their job.
So say an individual citizen in the United States or in Canada is listening to this show and is listening to what you have to say, and they're feeling very afraid right now because they're living in a country that's on the decline. What is there to do for individual citizens to mitigate some of this destruction that's going to be coming? What is individual citizen, what kind of role does that person play in this situation?
Look, as an individual, you have to do what you have to do, period. And that may have an impact on other people. There is no question, you know, of a recipe, do number one this, number two this, number three this. I mean, the fundamental thing is to be coherent with yourself. And many times, you know, I tell my students, very often in your life, you know, you will receive advices and people will say, you know, look, don't do this because this is not good for you. Do this other thing because this is good for you. Etc. And they do that very lovingly. The point for me is not if you do always what is best for you, it's a miserable life. You don't have to do what is best for you. You have to do what you have to do, whether it's better for you or not. And in the end, you know, the feeling, you know, when you get older will be very favorable. And that is what people need today. Individually, be coherent with themselves. If you don't like something, well, don't do it. Don't promote it. Say something about it. Try to convince somebody else. There are no fixed recipes. It's just a matter of personal coherence. And I think to a great degree, this is already beginning to happen in these movements that we have been talking about. It's an addition of individuals who feel that, well, I want to be different. It's confusing, but that's the way it is. And these situations have never been absolutely clear.
So people in the U.S. often have a very individualized view of survival and what it takes to survive. And some people who perhaps see the problems ahead for the United States are hoarding gold or buying firearms or thinking that having a cabin out in the woods will be able to save them. Do you think that's a realistic strategy, or do you think that hoarding resources just makes them a target for potential crimes?
These movements, I mean, and to change must be peaceful, you know, and must be the result of deep reflection and self-criticism. Particularly self-criticism. What have we done wrong? How can we change this? How can we improve this? Nothing can be solved with guns, with violence of any type. That only makes things much, much worse. Now, the problem is, of course, that you can have a society reach a point in which you have so many people so desperate that they can have absolutely violent actions. And that's something that you should try to avoid it. I believe, you know, that those dangers exist. And they exist in the States as they exist in other places as well. But I insist that if it happens in the States, the impact is much stronger than if it happens anywhere else.
Coming. Accidentally slipped in part of a skit that we're going to play a bit later. But yeah, so that wraps up just that clip of Manfred Max Neef when he was talking back in June of this year about what he saw coming to the United States and North America from his perspective in Chile. So what do you think, Seth?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting that Manfred was able to predict the uprising. I mean, it's not really a super huge prediction to make to say that people are going to be angry and be upset by what they've been seeing in Wall Street, but you know, it's still something to be able to predict a large youthful movement as he did.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about it, Justin?
Yeah, so I'm thinking that anyone who appreciates the quality of that kind of expert weighing in on the power of society and the trends that are shaping up and what's coming next can definitely support a station that is able to air those kinds of views. So, you know, chip in just a little bit by calling 604-822-8648. We've got people standing by who'll take your pledges. And also, you can go online and pledge that way at citr.ca. And remember that anyone who pledges during this hour, and this is only something we're offering to listeners to the Extra Environmentalist during this hour on CITR, is our special fall mixtape of great music that we mix in during our shows to really emphasize the things that people like Manfred Max Neef are saying.
Yes, and it's not every station that you hear that gets to
play such unique content from the very very prominent Chilean economist. Again, that number here, if you want to donate, is 604-822-8648. And you have, what, about 23 minutes left in our hour of Fun Drive where you'll be able to get our unique mixtape, which we have all the music that we don't even get to include on the show, the extra music that's just bonus that Justin collects on his spare time. And he is quite the DJ. For those of you who have the mixtape or have listened to the show in the past can attest to, he is a connoisseur of the musical variety. He goes out into the blogospheres and collects that music and comes back and slaves over.
You've hyped up the music enough, Seth. I don't think that's necessary.
Slaves over picking out those tracks and crafts a magical mystery tour of music that everyone can appreciate.
Right. And speaking of magical mystery tours, we've got quite a few skits that we'd like to play for you guys. We don't have enough time during this hour to play all of them, but Seth a minute ago was talking about unique content. You're not going to hear unique content like skits that hit at the very heart of our financial and economic system anywhere else. So we're going to play a clip of a financial call and advice show from Yoda. So here we go. We'll let Yoda take it away.
Take it away, Yoda.
Yoda's financial advice is not for investment decisions. Yoda is not responsible for any investment decisions you make during this call or after the call. Do not use Yoda's advice as something that you do to protect your money. However, Yoda's financial advice is well-researched and is a lot of fun.
Oh, hello, and welcome to Yoda's financial advice. A force is strong, so we're going to take our first call. Hello, caller. You're calling in from Occidental California, hmm? What is question you have, hmm?
Oh, that's right, Yoda. I'm calling about financial advice. The markets are all crashing. The USA is no longer AAA rated. Where do I put my money?
Money placed is decision hard, hmm? Company making V for Vendetta mask is good investment. Many rioters will use many masks, hmm? Find company that produce and place money there. All right, another call. This is Joe calling in from New York. New York, hmm?
Yeah, hello, Yoda. I'm trying to ship some olives that I got from my friend Jose out in California and in Oakland, yeah. So I can't get my stuff there because the ports are closed. There have been rioters in the streets. So what's your best suggestion for getting Jose my olives?
Use the force, hmm? No, just kidding. Actually, use complex finance mechanism through using animal husbandry. Create sheep, grow them up, hmm? Strap packages to sheep and run them in right direction, hmm? Guided by force, the sheep will find their path.
Yeah, thanks, Yoda.
Now, cut to one of sponsors, Yoda. Want to thank sponsors quite a bit. Here's a special message from one.
The United Delivery System is a special package delivery company. We want to thank all of our wonderful patrons with our new company-wide promotion campaign.
UDS would like to make sure that you have your specially UDS-issued taser gun so that you can electrocute your mailman. With specially designed UDS technology, no longer will you have that sleazy mailman hanging around your door. Simply tase him with your UDS-issued taser gun, and no longer will you have that problem.
UDS wants to ensure that our package delivery strategy is sustainable for the future. Using this taser, you'll be able to ensure that more and more people use UDS. Thank you for your patronage.
Now we're back. All right, we'll take more calls. Yoda would like to point out that using the force of ECB can help solve euro crisis. Hmm? Without this, investors will continue to be spooked, will not invest in banks, cause potential bank run. Very deep. Let's take more calls. This is a call from the Federal Reserve directly.
Yoda, what is the meaning of this show?
I was just, because I am green, I was helping people with their financial problems, hmm?
You know that we do not do this kind of thing. And you and I both know that the force runs strong. in the elite.
Do you have a question?
Your mother called and asked if you had sent flowers to her. She was very upset that you had missed her birthday.
Yoda took care of that well. Flowers shipped on Monday will be do or not do. There is no try.
Very good.
I have another call from the District of Columbia, Washington.
Yes, this is Timmy from Washington. I was wondering if you had any advice on how I could help erase my $15 trillion debt. Any advice would be great. I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, Timmy, calling in from Washington. Thank you for listening. What I advocate is a system of cheetahs that could be strapped together. The cheetahs will eat all financers. Suddenly, debt's forgiven. Debt jubilee occurs. More sponsors need support. We'll air their messages now.
Need to get in shape. Need to work on that six-pack. Need to make those arms look like huge guns. Well, we've got the program for you.
Welcome to End of the World Fitness. This is like nothing you ever seen before. This is a gym that solves all your problems with no motivation and puts you in the best shape you ever been in your life.
That's right. You lack the motivation to get up every morning. We have the solution for you with our patented zombie system.
Why pay for a personal trainer when you can pay for an actor dressed as a zombie who'll make you think that the end of the world is right around the corner?
Your zombie will come to your house and moan until you are awake, and then chase you all over the house until you get into that shape that you want. Need to go on a run? This zombie will run after you, moaning very loudly until you have run your desired amount of distance.
These zombies are top-notch, straight out of zombie acting school. They're gonna motivate you to get into that gym and cycle away. Your spin class has never been so good. Just listen to Carol, who's been using our zombie actor motivation service for the past year.
I was a little bit afraid at first, but when that zombie appeared at my door, I knew it was time to run. And run I did. Oh my goodness. I ran so fast that I tore a ligament and fell down. The zombie came up and was gonna eat me, but then I had my gun there, so I just shot him in the head and it was okay.
As you can tell from our powerful testimonials, this is the most motivation you're ever gonna receive from any kind of gym membership, so get out there and join.
Thank sponsors, Yoda does. Much force in their message. Alright, one last call. Oh, this one international, coming in from Dave in London.
Oh yes, Yoda, I'm calling in from London, England here. My debt seems to be out of control. It's ridiculous. The people are rioting in the streets. What am I supposed to do about it?
Well, UK economy too attached to mainland euro a currency. In case of collapse, UK also go down. European banking system be like diarrhea. Soon have runs. Must disconnect economy. Yet population density very high. Many people live on British Isles. Yoda suggests permaculture. That's all the time we have for today. Next up, after Yoda financial advice, it's Roarbox on CNBC. Take it away.
Yoda's financial advice is not for investment decisions. Yoda is not responsible for any investment decisions that you make during this call or after the call. Do not use Yoda's advice as something that you do to protect your money. However, Yoda's financial advice is well researched. It's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah. Gotta love the Yoda.
Right, Yoda knows how to give the best financial advice. It's really incredible what he knows how to do.
Yeah, it was really exciting to have him on the show. I mean, he came with a lot of strings attached. His lawyers were all about, you know, don't say this, don't say this, you can't say this. And then, you know, getting that guest appearance with Darth Vader on there, wow, that was really lucky.
You wouldn't believe the booking agency contracts we had to sign to get Yoda on board. I mean, his honorarium is unbelievable as well.
So. Yeah, and he's a really old guy. He kind of gets lost. He got lost on the way to the studio, so it was a little bit. He got here like 3 hours late. That was kind of funny.
But his vocal talent is unparalleled, and it was really worth the hassle. I gotta say.
Yeah, and his financial advice, whew, amazing.
Yeah, incredible. So if you're out there listening and you heard Yoda doling out some financial advice, and you're thinking, you know what? Maybe Yoda should dole out some more financial advice in the future. That's your cue. That's your opportunity to call in to CITR 604-822-8648. Add to our total. Contribute to local radio, such high caliber, high class radio like you just heard with Yoda, and make sure that more similar shows are out there. So what do you think, Seth?
That's right. Again, that number is 604-822-8648. We talked a little bit about the magic that radio brings to people, you know, driving in your car, on the way to work, eating your breakfast, washing the dishes. It's a free way to learn about the world around you, to listen to music, to, you know, investigate your world. And you don't have to be visually impaired by a television. You don't have to be sedentary and sitting in your living room. You can be with your earbuds. You can be, you know, roving the streets and causing mayhem. No, you can be at Occupy with your Walkman and listening to Justin and I spout the word. It's a very great opportunity that radio brings.
That's right. And speaking of Occupy, we're going to play a clip from a future interview that will make it onto our podcast and also CITR here in the near future with Dr. David McNally, who is a global professor of activism, or professor of global activism at York University here in Canada. And we wanted to speak with him about the future of the Occupy movement and what it means to be someone who's our age. You know, I'm 25, you're 26, Seth, and also someone who's maybe at university and looking out in the world and saying, you know, my idea of a career, my idea of what I was going to do with my life is maybe a little different than what I originally thought. You know, I'm seeing all the unemployment that's going on in Europe. I'm seeing all the unemployment in the United States and the recession that's occurring. And, you know, I'm having to reevaluate what I was thinking. And maybe there's some tension there. And so we talked with David McNally about that, right, Seth?
Yes, we did. Again, that number is 604-822-8648. For all you loyal extra-environmentalist listeners out there, this is a brand new episode that I just finished editing today. We haven't even released it yet. It's probably going to be number 30 in our episode stream. So be on the lookout for the full version of this episode with David McNally. And yeah, let's play that clip, Justin.
Youth are once again showing that they are the spark plugs of large-scale social change. That if you look at all the great social movements, even of recent history, stay with some of the examples that I was talking about earlier, and we'll add a few. Take the civil rights movement. Take the anti-war movement. Take the women's liberation movement, the environmental movement, or the Arab Spring. More recently, youth have been in the forefront. And I think that's for an obvious reason at one level. First, young people are really being hit by what's going on with this crisis today. I mean, the official rate of youth unemployment in Spain is 45%. That's the official government statistic, that young people are unemployed at a rate of 45%. So obviously, they're feeling very disillusioned about the future that the system is offering them. But I think the other part of youth playing this really crucial galvanizing role is that when you're a young person, when you're in the school system, going to college or university, you're thinking about your future. You're reflecting on the society that you're going to be living and working in for many decades to come. And so you're asking large questions about the nature of that society, what its values are, what its priorities are, and how it might be improved. And I think that questioning that youth inevitably engage in means that they're often prepared not to accept things that an older generation may have gotten used to, even if at some level they're not happy about it. And that's why I think youth have played this, as I say, spark plug role in igniting and providing key energy to these new global protest movements. And then I think the question will come for thousands and thousands of young people, whether they want to see themselves as movement builders for this generation. And that's, of course, really what happened with movements like the civil rights and anti-war movements, that thousands and thousands of people said, this cause is my life's work for the next period of time, that we will not rest until we've made some fundamental social changes. And once that happens, of course, then people can start to create whole new institutional forms for themselves. You will see, I believe, as this movement grows, that people will actually begin to create large new social justice coalitions, that these coalitions will begin to establish their own spaces, that is to say, through occupations or other forms. They will take buildings in city centers which they use as organizing centers, education centers, training centers, places where people develop the skills to build a mass social movement, where they get the education in the popular education form, and so on, and where you begin to figure out how you coordinate all the different aspects of your life, the time you spend working to pay your bills with the time you spend working to build movements for global justice. And that's, I think, the biggest danger for the powers that be right now. If this new generation that's coming to political consciousness makes that kind of commitment that earlier generations have. And I think, going back to earlier parts of our discussion, the great interconnections that we're finding now in many ways make that a more attractive prospect for people. They really do see how what they're doing in the streets of New York or Oakland or Toronto or Vancouver, how all that action is interconnected with what people are doing in Cairo or the amazing student movement in Chile right now, hundreds of thousands fighting for free tuition, shutting down the school system and drawing out hundreds of thousands of workers on solidarity strikes and support. You start to feel all those interconnections. When people feel that they're part of a movement for global change, that can be very electrifying. And I think that for young people to say, yeah, I'm going to make being a movement builder part of my life for this next decade, I'm going to make that commitment. It doesn't mean it's the only part of my life. There will still be time for friends and family, time for art and celebration and so on. But some of that will also be tied into building a movement in our communities and in our schools and in our places of work. And I think if that kind of perspective develops, then in a certain sense it gets harder and harder to imagine that this movement could be turned back.
All right. So that's a preview of our upcoming interview with David McNally. It was unbelievably inspiring. And I remember when we were recording it earlier this week, Seth, we were both just like talking to each other saying like, oh my God, I have goosebumps, because he really said some incredible things.
Yeah, he did. I really liked what he said about people who are still part of the machine, the cog in the machine that he talked about. I really liked the advice he gave to those people as they start to, you know, realize how they are part of that machine, that there is so much more to be. I really like that part. So, Justin, the number here again, if people want to donate to the station, is 604-822-8648. If people really want to hear more of the Extra Environmentalists, they can check out our website at extraenvironmentalist.com. They can like us on Facebook and, of course, follow us on Twitter. And I think we have another skit here before our time is out.
We like to do some movie trailers every so often. So we thought we'd put together a movie trailer for the, you know, a potential upcoming movie. So we'll take it away.
Coming this fall to Extra Environmentalist Pictures, the story of a man who represented a nation that had to change.
The AAA rating of the United States has just been downgraded to AA. What are we going to do?
I think we're going to need a new type of superhero to deal with this. We're going to need someone who has extreme strength, extreme understanding, and extreme economic literacy. We're going to need Captain Double America.
Captain Double America.
I'm Captain Double America. I'm here to save the day.
I'm going to need a motorcycle, and I'm going to need a gun. I need these things now.
But all we have is this toothbrush.
I'll floss out crime.
Sir, we just found a shield, but it's made in China.
Now look here, see? I've got a plan to take this country down another notch on its debt rating. I'm going around to all the college sporting events, see? And I'm gonna make sure that all their mascots are actually supervillains with evil powers. They'll never even see it coming. All the fans will be at the games tailgating, they'll be drinking beer, and they'll be empowering the mascots even further to wreak economic havoc on the nation.
This fall, your expectations for action, for economics, will be downgraded.
Captain Double America, everyone is going out to tailgates across the country at college football games, and instead of finding a solid economic alternative to raise the country's debt rating, they're drinking tons of beer and hanging out. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to go to every one of those tailgates, and I'm going to make their beer warm. Maybe I will even pee in their potato chips.
Stand back. I don't know how big this thing's going to get.
Now look here, see, Captain Double America. My plan was foolproof until you came along here, see? You're going down.
Not while I'm around, anonymous bad guy. I will make everyone's beer warm, so they will no longer want to be at your evil football game.
Yeah, I'm leaving. This place sucks. Man, I'm getting out of here. This place is awful.
I hate this place.
Every generation demands a hero, needs its problems to be solved. Captain Double America, a superhero you will always be.